Hello and welcome to the Encouraging Angels podcast with Stan Szymanski. I'm your host, Stan Szymanski. Today is Tuesday, March 26, 2024, and I have a great show for you today. Neither Encouraging Angels nor Stan Szymanski nor anyone affiliated with Encouraging Angels is offering any type of advice on this program. We do not offer medical advice. We do not offer legal advice. We do not offer financial advice. We do not offer personal advice of any kind. Please consult a professional in the area of your need or interest, and everything presented here is for informational purposes only. Folks, there is a potential really, really, really big eschatological event in the offering, in the offing, O-F-F-I-N-G. Actually, it is in the offering as well. That's an eschatological joke, and you will soon get what I mean, because we're going to be talking about red heifers. And what's a red heifer? Well, it's basically a red cow that has to be sacrificed in order to cleanse Israel. Well, why is that important? I'm going to go into that. According to what I've been reading, there have been 9 red heifers sacrificed in the history of Israel, with the cessation of all animal offerings in 70 AD with the destruction of the Second Temple in Israel. And we're going to get into why that is, you know, part of just the immense importance of this. I'm going to first read a bit from the Michael Snyder article, and I thank him for putting this on the forefront. There's also a CBS article that was done, not an article, a CBS video piece that was done that I'm going to play just a part of. We'll claim fair use for playing, just a portion of that for you. And then we're going to go into the scriptures that talk about why this is so important. So, going to End of the American Dream, which is the Michael Snyder website, article titled, "A Massive Altar for the Red Heifer Sacrifice Has Been Constructed in Israel." And it's Michael Snyder's article on that website, dated March 20, 2024. Since the time of Moses, only 9 red heifers have been sacrificed. Now, a massive altar for the 10th red heifer sacrifice has been built in Israel. And there is a tremendous amount of speculation that it could happen soon. Let me pause for a second before I continue on with Michael's article here, with the portion of Michael's article. It's so important. I was saving this, but I'll touch on this again. You know, it's so, this offering of the red heifer, and especially that this altar has been built, it's a big deal. But the offering of this, the 10th, red heifer, basically establishes the third temple in Jerusalem. And there, people are going to definitely argue that. But this, the offering, the ashes of the red, the purpose of offering the red heifer is to gather the ashes and to sprinkle the ashes mixed with water and to cleanse Israel. There is some debate on it should be mixed with the ashes of the previous red heifer, and there's debate about that. But one thing's for sure is that This establishes the third temple. An altar has been built. You know, and only when there's a third temple built or established, can the man of perdition, that is the Antichrist, walk into said temple and declare himself to be God. And this is what is talked about by Jesus in Matthew 24 as the abomination of desolation, which Jesus points to Daniel 9, which we'll get into all that, which was the original mention of the abomination. That's why this sacrifice of the red heifer is so important. So now let's go back to Michael's article. Second sentence. In September 2022, five red heifers were flown from the state of Texas to the land of Israel. Since that time, one of them has been disqualified. In other words, what that means is they found a blemish. You know, I think that means more than two hairs that are, you know, not red. Since that time, one of them has been disqualified, but the other four continue to be candidates for a red heifer sacrifice. As I discussed last week, there was a practice run of the purification ceremony in 2023. But an official ceremony must be conducted before the heifers get too old to be used for such a sacrifice. So basically, because those sacrifices, those red heifers have to be in their third year. And that means it's 1 year old, 2 year old. And then when it's basically 2 year old and 1 day, it's in its third year. You understand? Okay. Back to the article. So, will a red heifer be sacrificed in Israel in 2024? According to CBS News, a massive altar has already been constructed. In the video that I have embedded below, you can see footage of this altar starting at the 2 minute mark. Okay, so I will have this Michael Snyder article up on EA blog, of which inside the article is the CBS video, of which I'm going to play just a minute and a half, 2 minutes roughly of it for you, and we claim fair use. Please excuse the handling noise, and let's take a listen.
The infamous October 7 massacre that sparked a war. But one confounding yet eye-opening motive has escaped the headlines. In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these. Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Caring for them on an Israeli settlement in the West Bank is Yitzhak Mamo.
So we have here, after a long research, we find in Texas.
In Texas?
Texas, United States of America.
Texas Red Angus, flying them 7,000 miles to Israel.
This is not a publicity stunt.
What do you mean?
Meaning, this is something you take very seriously.
Harry Potter is a good story. The Bible is not story. The Bible is a way of God to lead us.
A massive altar already awaits, where the heifers are to be burned.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
The Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, among the holiest sites in Islam. Today, only Muslims are allowed inside, but that's not stopping Jewish activists outside.
Once you got, you started here.
6 days a week, Melissa Jane Kronfeld leads groups from around the world who defiantly pray, as close as armed guards permit.
It's not about the destruction of Islamic holy sites. It's about preserving this place and being guardians over the house of God for all people.
So you're happy with it where it is?
No, it's gonna go 100%, but I believe
it's gonna go.
It's 100%, yeah. The whole thing is gonna go. We have to build a temple.
When you say that Dome of the Rock has to go, MJ, it's hard for me to imagine something more incendiary.
Well, let me ask you something. The Middle East seems pretty destabilized right now. And the war, if I'm not mistaken, is already here.
So, and first of all, thank you to CBS for doing such an outstanding piece, you know, on that. Very unusual that CBS would send people to Israel and do that. Watch the video, because, I mean, they're there. And at the roughly 2 minute mark is the altar. It's a ramp going up at least 1-2 stories and to the place where they will sacrifice, or apparently plan to sacrifice, a red heifer. And as the relatively young lady who was explaining to the CBS news correspondent that the war is here, and that, you know, she's saying boldly that we have to get rid of that. She's talking about the, the Islamic site that stands there. On the Mount of Olives, because they have to have a temple there. I'm not going to go into the information will be there for you to read when I post the Michael Snyder article about, you know, there's people who believe that, you know, it does have to be purified. The nation needs to be purified, nation of Israel. But they necessarily don't need that temple. But they've got to be able to sprinkle that ash water. But this is why Hamas was so incensed. Because if they knew if they bring in the red heifers, that they've got to have the place, the temple, in order to do the sacrifice. And the temple has to be on the Mount of Olives, where right now it's controlled by the Muslims. So, it's going to be quite interesting from a societal standpoint. Let me read a little bit here at the down, not quite at the end of the article. Beyond that, even without the presence of a physical temple, the ceremony would allow the general population to be ritually cleansed and remove much of the religious prohibition for a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. When are they planning to do it? Well, they imported these red heifers before October 7th. We now know that Hamas said that this was part of the reason because they're going to use the red heifers to purify the temple, which is desecration to them. Purifying them so that they can then actually go up, and even if there's no temple, they can pray as if they were in the temple. They're going to do this Passover weekend, so Easter weekend. Now, Passover is not until I think mid-April. But Shabbat for Hebrew year 5784 begins at sundown on Friday, 29th of March 2024, and ends nightfall on Saturday, 30 March 2024. Shabbat Parah takes place on the Shabbat before Shabbat HaKodesh in preparation for Passover. Numbers 19:1-22 describes the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, in the Jewish temple as part of the manner in which the Kohanim and the Jewish people purified themselves so that they would be ready or pure to sacrifice the Korban Pesach. And, you know, Michael Snyder says that he's not been able to find any confirmation that a sacrifice will happen on March 29th. But he believes that the Temple Institute fully intends to conduct a red heifer sacrifice at some point in 24 and 2024. And when that happens, Israel's enemies are going to go haywire. And as CBS News has reported, Hamas has actually admitted that the red heifers were one of the reasons why they attacked Israel on October 7th, because that's desecration to them. So I find that to be quite interesting, because only, as I spoke about early in the podcast here, only when there is a temple. So even if they don't build an edifice, which I have heard that, I mean, all the plans are drawn up. But again, it needs to be on the Temple Mount where right now the Muslims control, where the Dome of the Rock is. To me, the significance of this is that, you know, is basically that this is, the, you know, the, for all intents and purposes, the temple. And I'm willing to be wrong about that because, you know, you heard this young lady on the CBS news piece that she looks at the Dome of the Rock and says this all has to go because, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, that we have to build a temple. Who knows what could happen? I mean, who could have predicted October 7th? So I would say anything is possible. But whenever the sacrifice of the red heifer happens, I believe that that's, you know, that really is the beginning of the temple. And when that happens, I mean, it opens up the door for the man of perdition. That is the Antichrist. Because there has to be somewhere for him to walk to and to for him to declare himself God. Now, let's look at a few scriptures. I have so much stuff open. Forgive me for pausing a little bit here. However, I had to do some homework today because it's very interesting, but you do have to do some homework. And, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that, you know, people still contest about eschatology, like, you know, because of looking at Daniel 9:27, is the tribulation 7 weeks or, is, or excuse me, seven years or is it 3.5 years? I'm of the school that it's 3.5 years because the first 3.5 years was Jesus Christ and then you leading up to AD 70 with the destruction of the temple, and we'll read that in a second. Jesus mentioned the abomination of desolation during his ministry. This is Matthew 24. I'm going to start at verse 15 and read 7 or 8 verses here. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. I'm reading from the NIV now. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So Jesus talked clearly about when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. Now, it doesn't say like that he has to be in, you know, necessarily that, you know, a big stone building. But that altar certainly will be holy. And of course, the sacrifice itself of the red heifer will purify. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, that altar that they built, you'll see it's a big white ramp that they built up, you know, with guardrails, goes up to the top. It almost looked like one of Evel Knievel's jumping ramps. And at the top, it's flat. And I assume that that is where they will do the sacrifice. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, so that may very well be the holy place. You know, and I'm putting this out, you know, for you to think of, because this is a current event and I'm, you know, going in and doing some homework. I spent some time today looking at all this. Now, what's Jesus referenced Daniel? Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 9. I'm going to read 25 through 27. Now, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. No one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Now, at the end here, when he says, because this is, there's a lot to unpack, and it's too much for, like, a show. But at the end here, in the last verse, he says, he will confirm a covenant, and that he, that would be, the anti-dude, he Antichrist, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. That's 1 week of years, basically. In the middle of the seven, that's 3.5 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So they kind of, it goes through those last 7 years, but they're not all together. They're not all continuous. You know, in the first 3.5 is basically, and this is my understanding, and there's a lot of disagreement about this, especially with the dispensationalists. The first 3.5 years is Jesus, the death of Jesus, because Messiah is cut off, and then the end of sacrifice and offering. The end of sacrifice and offering happened in 70 AD with the Roman destruction of the Jewish temple. So that's what I believe that that is. So when the tribulation that Jesus talked of in Matthew 24, he said, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. That's Matthew 24, verse 21. So that is the man of perdition. How do we know that? We go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin, that's the man of perdition, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. So, when the Antichrist walks into the temple, or as Jesus called it, the holy place, he is going to exalt himself above all that is called God. Can you imagine? So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist is going to go into the holy place and declare himself to be God. And when he does, again, going back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. So only when there is a temple, when there is a holy place established, and this will be the third temple. Again, there is the first temple, that was Solomon's temple, the second temple, Herod's temple, which was destroyed in 70 AD, and then will be the third. And, you know, Herod's temple was nothing. I shouldn't say nothing, but it was a much smaller version of a temple compared to Solomon's temple. So why couldn't the third temple be a ramp with a a tabletop on it? You know, as we move to tribulation. This is a speculation. So only when, you know, there's a third temple established can the man of perdition, the Antichrist, walk into this temple or this holy place, as Jesus called it, and declare himself to be God. And that is the abomination of desolation. And that will start the great tribulation, which in my humble opinion, and I first really, you know, received that knowledge was from Pastor David Lankford. And I would encourage you to check out Pastor David Langford's ministry at The Voice of Evangelism. You can watch his videos on YouTube. He does a great job with that. We actually use that for church, myself and my wife. And I would encourage you to get his book, The Second Coming, A Second Look, that goes into much more detail of a lot of the things that I've mentioned here today. But it's the issue of the red heifers that is pushing this to the forefront of current events. And it's going to actually push, you know, the thoughts of Jesus into the minds of the populace, in my humble opinion, which will make the Antichrist quite angry. And he is one mad dude because he knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is short. You know, as it talks about in when you get to the place of Revelation, it's either 12 or 13 when there's a war in heaven. I think it's 12. But I could be wrong. It's one of those two. But Satan is cast down finally to the earth, so he knows he is now contained. Because Satan could go back and forth not only on the earth, he could travel to heaven, which is detailed in Job 2, when he petitions God for the life of Job, basically, and God tells him, you can do anything you want, just don't take his life. So the devil, Satan, has always, you know, had that ability, but it's going to be taken away from him at the end. We could be very close, you know, to the start of the tribulation. You know, we'll see. That's the significance, because all this information, like Michael Snyder's article for how good it is, and the CBS video piece for how good it is, does not, it's information, it's not intelligence. You know, I'm hopefully converting the information into intelligence for you by saying the significance of this is that not only does, I mean, the presence of the red heifers piss off the Muslims in Jerusalem, excuse my French, and we'll just probably, you know, as that lady said, the war's here. They know the war's there. And the Jews are fighting for that, you know, that temple, which maybe unbeknownst to them is already there in the form of that ramp. Please watch, you know, what we listen to on the CBS, which will be in the Michael Snyder article. But that it, this is potentially the sacrifice has to happen in a holy place. Even if it's a ramp with a platform on top. Again, the first temple was magnificent, magnificent of magnificence, which was Solomon's temple. That was destroyed. Then there was Herod's temple during the time of Jesus. And then that was destroyed in AD 70 by the, you know, by the Romans. Again, who's to say that this temple won't be just small and yet serve the purpose? We don't know. It could, maybe they could, they would go and build something grand again. But maybe in the midst of a war, they take what they can get. I don't know. This part's complete speculation. But the presence of the red heifers and then the subsequent sacrifice of the 10th red heifer, in my humble opinion, and I'm just, I am not a theologian, I am not a priest, I just run Encouraging Angels and I read my Bible. And I look at this and say, this most certainly could be the precipitating factor of and satisfy that there is a temple and that it could provide the place for the Antichrist to appear on the scene and declare himself to be God. Because when that happens, the clock starts on the countdown during the tribulation. And in my humble opinion, that's 3.5 years. Again, some people say 7. I do not agree with that. And again, I ask you to please, respectfully, check out Pastor David Langford's book, The Second Coming, A Second Look, and read the rationale there for yourself. I think you'll be very, very interested to do that, and you'll be supporting a great man of God, a great preacher who doesn't play around, okay? This is how close we could be. I mean, they're talking about, there's been no mention that it could this Friday, but, you know, the speculation is there that it could happen on Friday, you know, this March 29th day that Michael Snyder mentioned. But if Passover truly isn't until, because Easter is, Passover, Monday, April 22, 2024. Because and that's when it starts and it ends at nightfall, April 30. Could it happen then? I mean, folks, we could be a month away. A little less than a month away, depending. And if the tribulation, if the Antichrist appears sometime after that, well, things are going to get very interesting. And the whole world will be troubled. And you will need, and I'll get to the reason why, in my humble estimation, you'll need food, water, water filtration, a way to collect water and purify it. Shelter, energy, and protection. And being where a lot of people aren't is a good place to start, okay? And of course, this is Encouraging Angel, so I'm always thinking first and foremost about the disabled, special needs, and their caregivers. And the caregivers are the ones who are making a lot of these decisions on where people will be, and if or if not, that they will have resources. Because for me, you know, I want to make it too. I wrote a piece. I think I'm going to write an article on this. I wrote a piece called The Peace That God Gives Those Who Persevere to the End, But Not to the Cowards. I'm going to see if I can find that, give you the actual. Yeah. The rest God will give to those who endure to the end, but not to the cowards. You can find that at encouragingangels.org and just click on Stan Szymanski, select Writings. The rest God will give to those who endure to the end, but not to the cowards. So I talked in there about why Revelation 5, chapter 15 is so important, because it does show that there are those believers who overcame the beast and the number of the beast and the image of the beast. I hope to be one of them. You have to have food and water to make it, right? Hopefully you're growing your own food, and that you are above all committing yourself to God, committing yourself to Jesus Christ, and not only asking him to be your Lord and Savior, if you've already done that, but abiding in him. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you separate from God, he basically said that you're like a branch that falls off and dies, and you're good for nothing except to be burned. People will burn. There's a lake of fire. And God talks about all the people that end up there. one of which is the cowards. So I say, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Embolden yourself by abiding in Him and His Word. You have to know His Word to know Him and to know what He wants of you. Start with the Gospel of John. You're listening right now, you know, on the internet. You can click on BibleGateway.com and read the Gospel of John for yourself for free. Because ultimately, the end game is eternal life with Jesus Christ. Or you can choose to live forever and burn with the devil. You can live where you can live eternally where the fire doesn't go out and the worm doesn't die. That's the basic description of hell. And of course, being eternally separated from God. It's not easy. I mean, this is a struggle. First, you give yourself to Jesus, and then to abide in Him, that is truly working out your salvation. Struggling with temptation. You know, we have to resist the devil and flee from temptation. That is what the Bible says. So I admonish you to do those two things. Resist the devil and flee from temptation. And keep yourself pure for Jesus' sake. I say this for my sake as much as anybody else's, believe me. But the time is now here. I really believe that. And this story about the red heifers is, I mean, there's much more to it than just three red cows that still have a chance of being the red heifer. It's kind of like, I don't want to say it. It's like a beauty pageant for cows that just ends badly. But it's so significant, you cannot ignore it. So, would you please share this podcast with those who you know and love? Would you please support Encouraging Angels? Go to www.encouragingangels.org and you can give by using your card, by clicking on the Cornerstone link, our great payment processor, or send something to, you know, our PO box on the donate page. I mentioned Pastor David Langford. Gee, you're going to be really blessed if you, you know, watch his messages on YouTube or go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. And that's a great pastor to support. And also, you know, to make it through the tribulation, you're going to need some civil defense skills because things will get chaotic. And that is our friend Jack Lawson. Go to civildefensemanual.com. This is the Encouraging Angels podcast. I'm Stan Szymanski. Please share this broadcast today. And I look forward to seeing you right here next time.